And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, PJ, today filling in for Meg once again on Pep Talk. Joining me in the studio right now, we have Dr. Jason Boatwright, who is a veterans advocate. Also, John Frankman, he's a former Army Special Forces Green Beret captain. It's a mouthful, but I got it out.
All right.
Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, his title's a lot better than mine.
A doctor's pretty good too. Takes a lot of work.
Yeah, 11 years in the making. I got it.
Yeah. Well, you're both here to advocate for veterans and veterans causes. So tell me a little bit about the work that you're doing, first of all, just kind of generally speaking.
Well, lately it has been a run with female veterans. I have been bombarded lately with a lot of female veterans that are just wanting to come out and, you know, talk about their experiences and getting the help that they need with some of the experiences that they have went through in the military. I don't want to say they had it any more difficult than the next person, but, you know, when they joined, they definitely had a different way of looking at things versus men.
Yeah, absolutely. I think boot camp especially, probably, you know, you can have a certain mental preparation for going into boot camp and how tough it's going to be, but for female veterans, it might be a little bit tougher maybe than they were expecting.
Yeah, well, the one thing that they've told me is when they signed up to join, it wasn't what they expected it to be. I don't want to say that the recruiter fed them a bill of sale, but, everyone's experience is different. And, John, I'm sure your experience was way different going through special forces training. I didn't have anything remotely like that. But, yeah, it's getting them the help and getting them the courage to actually accept the help. That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, my dad was in the Army. He went through his boot camp. He did some time in West Germany, so it was probably pretty easy duty because it was Cold War era.
Oh, yeah.
So he probably, he did that duty for about a year, and then he was in the reserves for 2 years doing ordnance duty. So, so had that experience, but I'm sure that his veteran experience wasn't quite the same, wasn't deployed to a combat zone, you know. So I can imagine some of those veterans are coming back and having issues like TBIs to deal with or PTSD. Talk to me about what veterans are experiencing in those areas.
Well, when it comes to PTSD, I always try to tell everyone, when they come at me with a claim and they go, well, Jason, my depression or my anxiety has been denied. And I'll be like, okay, well, why do you think you have anxiety? Why do you think you have depression? And they go, because of my PTSD. And I go, well, what traumatic event did you experience that landed that? Because PTSD has to be tied to trauma. And I will look at both avenues when I do a claim. And I was like, okay, well, if you never experienced trauma, how is it like adjusting to civilian life when you got out? And then they go off on the rails and be like, well, I didn't feel like I had that camaraderie anymore. I didn't have that unit. I didn't have that brotherhood, and everyone just left me out in the wind. And for example, I had one veteran I worked with last week. He got 2 or 3 DUIs shortly after leaving the military. And it was almost like he was just in this whirlwind, just spiraling out of control because he couldn't find himself because he lost that sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And it took him years to overcome that. And he's now finally doing really well.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's just that communicating that to the veteran is the big thing, is no one really teaches you that. And that's why I've always said, you know, the military teaches you how to take the uniform on, put the uniform on, but no one really ever teaches you how to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem lies. A lot of it is they're like, okay, time to go home. Well, what do I do now?
Yeah. For veterans discharging from the military, where are some good places for them to connect with fellow veterans, whether that's a VA support group or whether that's American Legion or VFW Club?
I've always advocated for veteran service organizations. I've always advocated for the VFW and the American Legion, because you'll have a different mix and different demographic to help you. Because what, you know, for a younger veteran, you know, maybe the, you know, GWAT era veteran may not connect to them, but the Vietnam era may. You know, everyone has that person that they kind of look and lean on to. And I've always said, just if you try different ones, try an AMVETS. You know, we have a great AMVETS in Cantonment. We have a great VFW off Lillian Highway. We have a great American Legion in Milton.
Mm-hmm.
There's many of them out here, and one may not be the best fit. It may take a few times connecting with it. But when you connect with it, you'll see that you'll have that sense of belonging, because you're like, wow, I remember this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've been very fortunate with the Special Forces Association. Mm-hmm. But obviously, depending on what your job was, what your background, you might connect with, like Jason was saying, younger guys, older guys, or if there's that specific camaraderie from your specific background. So it's certainly, yeah, people need to tie in and do what they can and find some kind of mission and purpose once they get out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, the purpose is a big thing. That is a really big thing. That's why I was an advocate for education benefits in the VA, to help find yourself.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Jason Boatwright, veterans advocate, and John Frankman, former Army Special Forces Green Beret captain. There, I said it twice. It's getting better. It's getting easier each time. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you have any questions related to veterans today, I know that they would love to answer your questions for you. So off air, we were talking a little bit about changes that the VA is making to being able to get your disability. You want to talk to me about that?
Yeah, I'm not really I'm not having a good feeling about this whole changes that they're wanting to do. You know, as far as like what technically, I don't want to say cures the disability, but helps alleviate the symptoms of a disability. And a great example that everybody uses is sleep apnea. For me, sleep apnea is the most denied disability claim.
Crazy.
I have had sleep apnea denied so many times because they always say you're old and you're fat. That's basically what it amounts to.
Hmm.
So they're basically saying that for somebody who utilizes a CPAP machine, that is 50% in the eyes of the VA. But if you use a sleep apnea, if you use the CPAP machine, it technically quote unquote cures sleep apnea. So they have to lower that rating. That just ain't going to work. That, to me, that just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, when I had my my cornea transplant in both of my eyes, technically that cured my disability. So now, yeah, I can see, but I can't get them wet because of infections. I can't go outside because of UV lights. I'm on constant medication all the time. My eyes are getting dry all the time. I get allergic conjunctivitis. But even though that the transplant technically cured my eyesight,
mm-hmm.
now I have all this other crap. So yeah. that they're saying that disability rating should be denied. And I just don't think that just, it's just not, it's, to me, it's not going to work. It's mm-hmm. just not going to work, because even though, yeah, you give a veteran a pill, but what are the side effects of all that pill?
Right.
I know that they're going this way to save money because of the cost of VA healthcare, because the VA healthcare costs have been going up substantially the last 5 years. So they're looking for, the VA's looking for ways to cut the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have more veterans on 100% now than we ever have. So looking for ways to cut money, it's just in the wrong area. It's just in the wrong
area. I mean, our veterans, it's such a small percentage of the country that actually goes out there and serves. And most of the civilian population doesn't understand the sacrifice that they make, that their families made. And there's so many veterans from different ages that weren't treated, that suffer from Agent Orange and other side effects, or just by the materials they're around, the bullets, et cetera, causing different cancers, difficulties in life. And, you know, there's a saying that there's old and then there's Army old. Why do they say that? They say that because of the stresses that you undergo when you're in the military, where you'll just age faster. Your body will just deteriorate more. But, yeah, there's a lot of bloated budget within the government, but I don't think that the VA, we're taking care of veterans. Now, if you can do it more efficiently, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you look into some kind of a blended program where people have the choice of, do they get the support with VA or do they go to a privatized healthcare where they get the option of choosing where they want to go? I know in the military we had a retirement program where you had to go to 20 years in order to retire, and they slowly went to a blended retirement program where you'd get a portion of your thrift savings plan or your similar to a 401k. Well, maybe that's what we need to do in order to make the healthcare more available to the VA and not have it as bureaucratic. But right now, we just need to make sure we take care of the veterans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll be back with Pep Talk right after this. Yeah.
Even across the globe, trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host today, PJ for Pep Talk. Meg is out. Our guests for this half hour are Dr. Jason Boatwright, veterans advocate, and John Frankman, former Army Special Forces Green Beret captain. I just have to say it slowly, and I can get it all out. So we're talking a little bit about veterans' issues, changes perhaps to the disability that the VA is making under the auspices of perhaps cost-saving measures. I know that, John, you were talking a little bit about the reason that you left the military was in the COVID era. So talk to me about that a little bit.
Sure. So I was a Special Forces Green Beret assigned to 7th Special Forces Group, and I got there in 2020, which is the height of COVID and all of that madness. And for religious reasons, I chose not to get the COVID shot, also was not sure about the medical safety of it. And as I was looking at some of the data on the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, decided not to get the shot. So ultimately, after losing out on a lot of career opportunities, chose to leave rather than wait to get kicked out. And over the last few years, I've been advocating for service members negatively impacted by the shot mandate. Those who were kicked out, those who stay in and their careers were irreparably harmed, those who've been injured by the COVID shot. So that's kind of been what I've been up to the last few years.
Okay. So the COVID shot is still required by the military?
So the COVID shot is no longer required by the military.
Okay.
They still have it, but you had about 8,600 people that were kicked out and maybe about 80,000 that were, quote-unquote, voluntarily separated. Mm. That's individuals such as myself who faced pressure, coercion, and had their religious exemption sitting and could either choose to leave on their own terms or potentially wait to get kicked out. So we're waiting on the reinstatement process for these individuals if they want to come back in. And we're also seeing a number of people who have been seriously injured. For instance, I know one woman who is 24, 25, and she's had three heart attacks, a stroke, has a pacemaker. Another individual who has Guillain-Barré syndrome was basically paralyzed and couldn't walk for a long time, and he'll never be the same. Mm-hmm. But you have some of these, you know, one-off cases of people being seriously injured, and then I've had a number of buddies come up to me and just tell me about just weird side effects that they're experiencing themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Our veterans, you mentioned they're still waiting for a process to get back into the military to serve. Are some of them finding a way to get back in to serve, or is this something that we're still waiting on?
So the process is there, but it's been so slowly rolled out that it makes you wonder, was the intention to get everybody back in, period? Because we had the executive order very early on in January saying reinstatement with full back pay. But right now, you had about the 80,000 people that were separated, and approximately maybe 80 have come back in. So that means for every 1,000 people who left the military, only about one has been reinstated. And why is that? It's because the process is overly bureaucratic in and of itself. It forces people to go back to MEPS, to go through the Board of Correction Military Records. Furthermore, the full back pay isn't actually true. You had the 8,600 that were kicked out. They're entitled to back pay, but their full back pay is subtracted from everything they made as a civilian from the day they were kicked out to the day they go back in. So let's say you're owed $300,000, but you made $200,000, you'd then get the $100,000. But that 90% of people who left, not officially because of COVID, but because they didn't want the shot and wanted to avoid it, they're not entitled to any back pay at all. And I think the biggest issue is that, and Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has noted that the order was unlawful. And it was unlawful because the actual FDA-approved drug was never offered to service members, and you can't force someone to take a EUA product. Well, there hasn't been any accountability for those flag officers, those generals, those admirals who pushed this onto their service members and very much ruined many of their lives.
Okay. So what sort of outcome are you hoping to get from this long-term to help the veteran brothers and sisters?
Well, I think that we need to just continue advocating, continue reaching out to our congressmen, that there needs to be awareness that it is still an issue. And some of us have been more active online and are trying to work with Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness, Tata. And there is a task force to do like a review of what happened. It's just unfortunate that it's taken, you know, almost a year into the administration to really, really get it rolling. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're trying to set up some task forces to help the streamline the process, but I'm a big believer in accountability. And when I do something wrong, I try to hold myself accountable or hope someone else holds me accountable. If I, you know, eat too much at one night or skip, you know, have a cheat meal too much, okay, well, let's hold myself accountable so I don't do it again. But with these flag officers, I hope that there's a grade rank determination for them. And that's where you look at what was the last rank that you served honorably in your career. Mm-hmm. If you were just a tyrant and forcing people out, kicking people out, treating people terribly, and I have some terrible stories. There was a battalion sergeant major at the 82nd Airborne, for instance, who one day at PT, before the mandate was ever out, said, hey, if you have the COVID shot, go on over there, you have the day off. If not, get your rucksack on. We're going for a long, grueling PT, ruck march. Unless you go over there. So that is just straight up coercion for the lowest ranking people who don't know their individual rights. So unless we have some kind of a show of accountability, there's the possibility that this could happen again.
Mm-hmm. In my background, I actually used to work for a member of Congress up in Wisconsin. I know that they have caseworkers that work specifically with veterans. I know that there's probably groups perhaps that are visiting D.C. or visiting their local congressman's district office. Is some of that happening as well behind this issue?
So I think that I've been kind of the guy who's been the most vocal on it, and I've written every member of the – so in 2022, I think that we got the – I'm trying to think. We got the House, or when Republicans had the House, I went to every member of the House Armed Service Committee saying you need to have hearings on this. And when one party has a majority, even if – the president is of the other party, they can have hearings. They didn't really have hearings on this. Matt Gaetz was he was a big proponent for this. He brought me to the State of the Union in 2024 to really discuss it. But it's something that I think is in the back burner, and I'm not sure if it's because of a big pharma thing or if we just want to count it as a win and check the box moving forward. So there really isn't as much of this going on. There are some lawsuits, class action lawsuits that people have joined. But really, we're hoping that the people who have been able to get within the Pentagon and are working are able to work a lot of stuff out. But so far, I have not seen really much from Congress lately on this issue, unfortunately.
Okay. Dr. Jason Boatwright, veterans advocate, and John Frankman, former Army Special Forces Green Beret Captain, our guest today on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes, making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed, also help protect you during severe weather today. For simple step-by-step guidance, visit floridamakeaplan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night party in downtown Pensacola. But move to around Plaza Ferdinand, Government, and surrounding area due to construction on Palafox. Enjoy the art vendors, music, food, and the fun of the Pensacon theme. Saturday, check out the Palafox Market from 9 till noon. North Palafox will be filled with farm fresh produce, plants, baked goods, and more, with over 200 vendors. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Papi, walking around our block is like walking around the world.
How do you mean?
My friend Kayla's from India, Lily's from China, and Beza's from Ethiopia.
We're lucky we live in a diverse community where people from different backgrounds live in the same neighborhood.
I like it.
To learn more about how the Fair Housing Act promotes diversity, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, and familial status. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg today on Pep Talk. Dr. Jason Boatwright, veterans advocate, and John Franklin, former Army Special Forces Green Beret Captain, our guest today. We did have a couple questions come up for you on the text line here, 437-1620. Excuse me. It says, good morning. Question for Jason. What would it take to get a bigger medical resource in the panhandle?
I'm assuming that they're going to mean a medical center for actual veterans here. The best way that I have found over the years is construction is very difficult for the VA. Anybody that knows doing construction with the government, there's all these processes of bidding and contracting, and it is a nightmare. The best way that I have found that we have discussed many times over when I was in Congressman Matt Gaetz's office is to do a facility swap. Let the Navy have the Pensacola Clinic, since they're already being treated there at sick call, dental, PT, all that, and give them the Naval Hospital to the VA. It would be the quickest and fastest and, to me, most efficient way.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Second question on the text line, how do you plan on getting a raise for local troops in their BAH rates? Florida has faced a huge population surge, and while housing has skyrocketed, BAH rates haven't kept up.
Yeah, I mean, we need to make sure that our service members, that they have the BAH rate they need. So that's something that just continue to talk to your local congressman, talk to the base commanders, but also base housing, too. We have a lot of these facilities come in, large corporations is trying to build a lot of housing. They'll knock a lot down. They won't build as many houses. So trying to make sure that the housing is on the basis for those who don't want to live on base, too.
Okay, so this next one is quite a long question here. So it says, hello, I'm a female veteran. I've worked with Jason. He's amazing. Looks like she has leukemia. I'm sorry. 6 years of fighting the VA has had quite a bit of a problem with that. We need reform in the VA for cancer patients. What can we do to fix this? I'm going to try to summarize that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I am embarrassed to say that I really don't know who that is, but it's obviously someone I have worked with. Really, the thing when it comes to any type of treatment like that is you've got to have good communication with the community care. I mean, we have great oncology doctors here locally. And just to keep that communication going so that the veteran can continue to get good care that's uninterrupted. That's the big thing, uninterrupted care.
We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.